Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for your prayers. Before we get into services, let's our prayer list for Traveling Mercies and the Gordons, as they'll be coming back Saturday, I'm pretty sure. It'll be on Saturday. We'd constantly be in prayer for Sister Hubbs while that she's away. Mark and Ruth, that the Lord would just watch over them, keep them safe. Always in being constant prayer for the Asburys and the family of the Asburys, as they try to care for them, and the families of the Halls, Hancocks, the Cynics and Downs, as they try to care for them also. Be in constant prayer for Sister Renee. It's good to see Brother Trevor here. Let's always keep him in our prayers. Brother Mel and Rita. Brother Dwayne, with all that he's going through in the family, be in constant prayer for Sister Nancy and with Sister Gordon, that they would get over their surgeries and that they would get better again. Brother Kevin, would you lead us in a word of prayer before the message? If you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, in my last devotion I talked about commitment and how it begins, and I felt led of the Lord to talk about how commitment continues, how commitment to the Lord continues. First of all, how it lives, I'll go over that again quickly, or how it begins and then how it lives, commitment. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, we read verse 23. Who that is the Lord, Jesus, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And then in John chapter 21, if you turn with me there. And we'll read verses 14 through 22. John 21, verse 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved then, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, unto Peter, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. The word commitment, and I looked that up in Vine's dictionary, it means the state or quality of being. So it's a state or it's a quality of being, meaning it's continuous. The state or quality of being dedicated to a person, cause, or activity. The word dedication means zeal, enthusiasm, perseverance, or persistence. Another word linked to commitment is devotion. That means love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or a cause. Another word linked to the word commitment is allegiance. That is loyalty or commitment of a subordinate. That is one that is below another to a superior. This is a state or quality that is becoming more and more rare, whether in the natural realm or in the spiritual realm. Jesus told Peter, John 21:19, follow me. In verse 22, he made it more personal. He says, follow thou me, Peter. What was Jesus saying to Peter? He was saying, Peter, be committed to me. He was saying, Peter, be dedicated to me. He was saying, Peter, be in allegiance with me. He was saying, Peter, be devoted to me. John 21, three times Jesus asked Peter this question, lovest thou me? In verse 15, 16, and 17. What was Jesus saying to Peter? Peter, are you committed to me? He's saying, Peter, are you dedicated to me? Are you in allegiance with me? Are you devoted to me, Peter? In John 14, 15, Jesus tells his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. What's the Lord Jesus telling his disciples? Be committed to me. Be committed to me. Stay committed to me. Or be or stay dedicated. That is with a passion, zeal, or enthusiasm from the heart. That's the only way it counts, is from the heart. And do it to me, Jesus is telling us. He's telling his followers, be or stay devoted to me with love and loyalty. Those two characteristics of devotion, when they're really active from the heart, they will produce real enthusiasm. Real enthusiasm, that means intense, eager enjoyment. You'll enjoy it. Interest or approval. I recently went out and got a bite to eat with Brother Steve here, Melton. We were having a conversation concerning our salvation. We were dwelling in the awe of it and the wonder of it and the amazement of it and its effect upon us now and forever. I told Brother Steve, it boggles my mind to think that I'm still here today. Within the walls of this building for 24 years, it boggles my mind. Like my salvation experience, that is not being able to get over it. You know, I feel the same way when it comes to being a follower of Jesus Christ or being a part of one of his true churches. It's too amazing. There's just too much awe and wonder in it. If something amazing happens in your life, how can you get over it? I really don't believe you can. Sin, Satan, and the world may cloud it up. It may cause it to stumble or fall, but it's too amazing to stay there. It contains too much awe and wonder to stay stagnant. Eventually, it's going to shine forth. You know, Satan and the world has tried, and sin and my flesh have tried to throw everything they could at it. But it doesn't matter. It still just keeps shining forth because it's too amazing. This state or quality, being committed to Jesus Christ or his cause or his activity or agenda, like Pastor has said, it isn't something you decide one day, I'm going to start being committed to Jesus. There are so-called churches or religious sects or creeds that try to cause a person to experience this state or quality. They try to teach a person how to be committed to Jesus. That is all the rules and the regulations. Those people try to make it happen in the flesh, which only leads to frustration, depression, and a life filled with defeat. The people that are committed to Jesus, this state or quality of being dedicated to Him, it's not because they're better than others. It's not because of that. Being committed to Jesus or dedicated to Jesus or in allegiance with or devoted to Jesus is a result of a real salvation experience. That's where it begins. That's where commitment to Jesus begins. For everyone that's saved, I believe, they are to some degree committed to Jesus Christ. They're not going to get over that. Now I want to talk about a life filled with an interaction with Jesus Himself. You know, I read those verses, Luke 8:26-40, of the man of Gadara. Think of that man. You know, that man was demon possessed. He had a lot of problems. Demon possessed. That man was a sinner and he had a lot of problems. And I'm sure all of his family tried to help that man. They did everything they could. I'm sure they reached out. They used every resource they possibly could to help that man. But when all was said and done, they had to lock him up in chains and throw him in a tomb. But one day, Jesus showed up and changed all that. Jesus still does it this way today. When everyone tries everything they can in a person's life, when a person runs out of resources, that's when Jesus shows up. He does it all the time. And it completely changed that man's life. Those town people came out and saw that man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. You know what that man was doing there? He was committed to Jesus. He was reeking with it. And I really believe with all my heart that man stayed committed to Jesus till the day he died. And it all goes back to that salvation experience. There's power there. It's going to have an effect upon you. Think of the man at the pool of Bethesda. This man was lame on his feet for 38 years. I'm sure the same thing. There's all kinds of people who tried to help them. I'm sure his family, his parents were there and alive. I'm sure just out of natural affection, they did everything they could to help that man. But you know what? When all was said and done, he was there alone at the pool all by himself. Guess who shows up? Jesus shows up. He changes everything. He says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" He says, "Take up your bed and walk." Jesus then goes away. He comes back and he finds the man in the temple doing what? Praising God. No one had to make him go to church. It was a result. And I believe that man stayed committed to Jesus for the rest of his life, to some degree. A life filled with an interaction with Jesus Himself. This is how commitment to Jesus Christ continues. This is how it lives on. It's an interaction with Jesus Christ Himself. It's a life filled with that. That's what it's been for me for 24 years. So how does a person stay committed or continue staying committed to Jesus? That is, to himself, his person, or his activity, or his cause. You know, turn with me to 2 Peter 2:7-8. I'm going to read them verses there. Anyone that is saved, I believe to some degree you are committed to Jesus Christ. Because of that, you have foes. You have enemies that will do everything they can to stop you. And for a moment, I want to talk about all of those enemies. But in 2 Peter 2:7-8... And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, that's all it takes to be in this world. All you got to do is be here and see and hear. And it will vex your righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That word vex means make someone feel annoyed, worried, frustrated, irritated, or angered. What is a righteous soul? Turn to Romans chapter 3. We'll read verse 20 through 25. Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's all the law is. That's what it's there for. It's to show you that you're a sinner. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. When Jesus washed me in his precious blood, he provided for me a forgiveness of sins, but I still got to deal with sin in this world, whether of my flesh, my own flesh, or all the foes that are out there to do one thing, to try to hinder me or in some way get in the way of me being committed to Jesus Christ. That's their goal. Think of all the sin that we have to see. I'm talking about the saved. Think of all the sin that we have to see every day or hear. I'm up there at the store. A man, just a customer, comes to me and begins to tell me or tries to tell me a dirty joke about a lady. But I stopped him. I said, I'm a Christian and I go to church, sir. You know, this is stuff that will vex a righteous soul, see. All the things we have to see and hear and smell. You know, the store I work at, it's a pot factory. It's literally a pot factory. They don't sell it there. But the customers coming in and walking through there all day long just reeking with marijuana. All day long. Sin also is an inward element that produces acts. That means it's alive. It's active all the time. It keeps working. It's not going to stop 24 hours a day. I enjoy this time of the year more because when it's cold outside, the women have to wear their clothes. I'm only being truthful and honest. I'm only being sincere. I'm not talking about here at Home Baptist Church. I'm talking about what we have to see and hear out there in the world. It vexes a righteous soul. It really does. What we have to see and hear and smell out there. All the things that we have to see and smell and hear out there. I try to get away from having to hear and smell and see all this sin for a day. Thankful that the Lord has set a day apart for us to come here and have rest. It is a day of rest. That's exactly what it is. It's getting away from having your soul vexed out there in this world. It's a day of rest. But on the other day off, I try to get away from having my soul getting vexed. We go fishing on a Saturday at Wixom Lake. Me and Wes are fishing the docks. They're about 5 to 10 yards long. That's 15 to 30 feet long with big boats parked on them. And it makes it to where you can't see the next dock. We pass one dock. I hear a noise, three young girls sporting themselves almost naked in their underwear. They call them bathing suits. I call them underwear. One glimpse of them, me and Wes at the same time turn around facing the other side of the lake. One of them speaks up and says, those guys don't even want to look at us. No, I don't. No, I don't want to look at you. And neither did Wes. Both of us at the same time. That was amazing. Just boom, like clockwork. That's why still being committed or staying committed to Jesus is so amazing. That's why it boggles my mind. Look at all these things we have to face. And still being here. It's an amazing thing. But here's the cherry on top. My flesh is still just as sinful as it was the day the Lord saved me. Here's the cherry on top. I can't count on it. I certainly can't trust it. It's still just a good-for-nothing piece of dirt. That's all it is. It's filled with nothing but vanity and vexation of spirit. That's all it will produce in your life. Facts are facts. I came from a filthy, disgusting, horrible pit. Can you see anything good coming from that pit by itself? It's not going to happen. But Jesus is committed to a people. I want to talk about in closing. In Philippians chapter 1, let's read verses 3 through 6. Let's talk about his commitment to a people. You want to talk about commitment? If you want to learn about commitment, learn of Jesus. Anything he's committed to, nothing's going to stop him. Nothing's going to stop him. Nothing. In verse 3, Philippians chapter 1, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing. This is the confidence that Paul here is expressing. He is expressing a very strong confidence here. And I believe it's a joyful confidence. It's an eager confidence. It's a confidence filled with anticipation. He knows something good is going to happen here. This is what he's saying. Of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. You can count on that. You can count on that. Anything that he starts, he's going to finish it. He is going to finish it. Anyone here within the walls of this building, if the Lord's began a work in you, he's going to perform it. You can count on him. You may not be able to count on yourself, but you can count on him. In John chapter 6, if you turn with me there. There is a people, there is a remnant that Jesus is committed to. In verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now this is commitment. And him that cometh to me, or her, I will in no wise cast you out. In no wise. That's a very bold promise. That's a very strong promise that he can keep. He can keep that promise. That's why I'm still here 24 years later. I deserve to be cast out. I deserved it over and over and over again and again and again. I've given up on myself, ready to throw in the towel so many times, but guess who shows up? There's Jesus again. I haven't given up on you. Why? Because he made the promise. I will in no wise cast them out. There's a people, a remnant that Jesus is committed to. That is, Jesus is dedicated to. He's devoted to them. He is in allegiance with them. What makes this so special and amazing is they don't deserve it. Not one of them. None of them. For nearly 24 years, my commitment to Jesus has stumbled. Sin, Satan, and the world makes it cloudy. It gets in the way. It's never what it ought to be. My sinful flesh gets in the way. It's so weak and frail. But I'm so thankful his commitment to me isn't like mine. His is divine and supernatural. It's nothing like mine. His commitment is different, very different. I can boldly say with confidence, like Paul, anyone or anything he is committed to, nothing is going to be able to hinder his commitment to them. Nothing is going to stop him. And I'm evidence of that. That's why I'm still here today. You know? When it comes to commitment or first of all, let's read in John chapter 10 and verse 24. Let's read of this commitment some more. His commitment to this people. Verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. I don't believe he was being mean to them or rude or arrogant. He was just telling them the truth. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you're not my sheep, not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep, this is how they can be identified, hear my voice. They're going to hear my voice. And I know them. He personally knows them personally. He knows every single one of those sheep by name. And they follow me. This is right here shows you commitment. He's committed to them and they'll be committed to him just because of his commitment to them. That's it. That's why that they're going to follow him. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Never means never. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Nothing is going to stop him, his commitment to these people. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. My Father which gave them me, the Father gave them to Jesus. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We are one. When it comes to commitment or the state or quality of being dedicated to a person, cause, or activity, whether in the natural realm or in the spiritual realm, there has to be a beginning. It has to start somewhere. Somehow, some way, it begins. I like that old saying, you can bring a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. You can't make him drink. I like to see anybody try that, you know. Many churches, religious sects, or creeds tried for 29 years. My parents tried all kinds of stuff. They tried everything to make this horse to drink, but it didn't work. They tried to make this, and it didn't work. It's not that hard for the Lord to make a horse thirsty. Can you see that being too hard for the Lord? Making a horse thirsty? He would have no problem with that at all. Which will produce the result of drinking the water. They will drink the water when the Lord makes them thirsty. He first caused me to see my great need. That's what he did. My woeful condition and my helplessness. What happened? I became thirsty for someone to rescue me. That's what happens. I became thirsty for a Savior. And I cried out to God for mercy. And Jesus showed up. Just like the man of Gadara. Just like the man at the pool of Bethesda. That's where my commitment to him began. That's where it began. I didn't know at that time how committed to me he is. That word is means all the time, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. For nearly 24 years, I've been blessed to not just read about, but see it and experience it personally, his commitment to me. I've seen it. Oh, some of the strongholds I've gotten myself in. And the tests and trials. You know what these things are? But experiences in our life, circumstances in our life where the Lord can teach us. That he's committed to us. And which will always refresh and revive our commitment to him. And it will cause it to grow stronger. The trials that I have miserably failed in, over and over again. The sinfulness of my flesh easily besets me, or the weights and cares of this life get in the way. Think of all of Satan's attacks, all the Goliaths I've had to face for 24 years, the storms I've been through. I can look back and clearly see his commitment to me. That's what makes it so special. You can look back and see the hand of God, you know. And the more you see and experience it, the stronger your faith will be that every circumstance that comes, he'll be there. He'll be there for you. Your faith will grow stronger. Whether you're failing or whether it's some other circumstance, whatever it is, no problem he can't handle. Without his commitment to me, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be here today. Matthew 11:29, Jesus declares, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's what Jesus loves to do. He loves to teach. He loves to teach. That's what he's been doing with me for 24 years. He's been teaching. Just constantly teaching. And when he teaches, you will learn. Spiritual application will happen. And you will grow. To some degree, something's going to happen. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He's meek and lowly in heart. He's not a mean teacher. He's not going to sit there and beat you with a ruler. Or make you put on a dunce cap. No, he's going to teach you. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. That doesn't sound like a God that's just going to let you have it kind of God. Doesn't sound like that to me. though I deserve it over and over again, he has used chastening in my life several times, but never has it ever been without love. It's never been without love. He may use it, but you will see and taste his love also. He's not going to throw you under the bus. He's going to want to teach you. At least I've never experienced it. A life that Jesus is involved with, take my yoke upon you, will be a life filled with being taught by Jesus himself. A life filled. The word teach means to give instructions. Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee doing what? Teaching. That's what he did during his earthly ministry. He just kept teaching and teaching and teaching. That's what every circumstance in our life, when it happens, it's an opportunity for you to be taught by Jesus. That's what it's there for. It's there to help you to grow spiritually. He's going to use it. Why? Because he's committed to you. He is committed to you. Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages doing what? Teaching. He just keeps teaching all the time. Matthew 5:2, and he opened his mouth and taught them. This is what he keeps doing. Real life experiences, real interaction with Jesus himself here in this life. Matthew 7:29, for he taught them as one having authority. As one having authority. Turn with me to John chapter 14. Jesus here is telling the disciples that he's getting ready to go away. But he's still going to keep teaching them. He's still going to keep teaching them, but this is how he's going to do it. And in John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That he may abide with you forever. This is a spirit this is a promise that's still being kept today. It's still happening today. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He makes this promise, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you. He shall teach you. And he'll strengthen you. He'll comfort you. He'll give you the grace you need to get through whatever we have to get through. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. A life that Jesus is involved with, take my yoke upon you, will be a life filled with being taught by Jesus himself. Just taking a moment to reflect upon all of your life experiences with Jesus. Take time to reflect on that. You know, it will always refresh and revive your commitment to him. It will. It works. It will strengthen it. And it will grow stronger. It will grow stronger. You can clearly see his commitment to you in all those life experiences. You can clearly see it. And it's always produced a refreshment and a revival of my commitment to him. It always works. Not because I have to do this or do that, but willingly, joyfully. In fact, it will cause you to desire for him to be more involved with every area of your life. Every area. Your home life, your marriage life, financial, materialistic, or career. You're going to want Jesus. Once you keep experiencing it over and over again, pretty soon you'll just want to keep having him teach you all the time in every area of your life. Because he's always got something to teach you. In closing, in 2 Timothy 3:14, Paul is telling Timothy how to keep learning. He's telling him how to keep learning. But continue in the things which you have learned. Stop and reflect. Think about those things that God has taught you. In those ways he's caused you to learn and to grow. Stop and think about those things and continue in them. And what it will do and has been assured of. It will assure you of it more. Meaning it will cause your assurance to grow stronger. And then knowing of whom thou hast learned them. For him to take the time to want to teach me anything is amazing. It's amazing. But that's what he's been doing with me for 24 years. And I thank him for that. Commitment, it's either one or two thing. There's only two ways to look at commitment. It's either by the arm of flesh or by a miracle. One or the other. You can't mingle the two together. There's no fence to straddle. It's either a miracle or it's by the arm of flesh. And I believe wholeheartedly it's nothing but a miracle. It's a miracle. That's the only way we'll continue is if he keeps granting us the grace we need to continue. Brother Jim, will you lead us?